George Holford with my good friend. Hadn't seen you in a while, Jeff. Jeff Brown, the president and CEO of the Biz Foundry. And we're gonna talk about it, Jeff, and we're gonna talk about the Biz Foundry and what we do. And we're not gonna have enough time, Jeff, but we're excited to have you with us.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Yeah, I tend to. My wife was laughing that between you and I, we could probably talk the paint off.
We'll wear it out. But I've got one of the toughest assignments I've ever had, because I'm retired now from the chamber. But I like to talk, and I don't listen very well. And my job right now is to listen to you. So we're excited. And I told y'all fair, this show's a little bit different. We're going to start out with the old Billy Graham thing, or the spiritual thing about who are you, your formative years, you know, carry us all the way. Don't spend a lot of time in high school. Talk about your friends, your family, your passions, and then bring us up to date. And then we'll talk about what you're doing today, and we'll talk about the Biz Foundry, which is a super important agency in our community region that probably most people would not know a lot about unless you were involved. And then we're going to look in the crystal ball. So I'm going to put you on birth, my friend. Let's go from there.
Well, you know, I was I'm a rural guy. I was born in Cumming County, grew up in Crossville.
You're a Crossville guy.
I'm a Crossville guy. Right. You know, I hear people talk about their childhood, and I just can't imagine a bad childhood. I'd go back to being 8 years old today in a heartbeat.
You? For a short time, anyway.
You know, my grandparents were from both sides, opposite ends of the county, as rural as you could get. You know, crab orchard.
Americana.
On
the one
side. Oh, Americana. Yeah. You know, and both kind of farmers. One was a sawmiller, so, you know, I grew up. Yeah, I would go stay with my grandparents until my dad would call and say, "Your mom's crying for you to come home," because I was the first grandchild on both sides of the family. So
same
I had
here.
It made.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know,
what
I
a
tell
wonderful,
like,
we didn't realize it at the time, but what a wonderful childhood that you had.
I now take my grandson to the family farm at least once a month or so and go fishing and drive tractors and do all those things that kids today don't learn how to do.
No, they got great things, but they're missing things too.
Yeah, I just never knew what and I don't mean this in a bad way at all, but I never knew what a bad family was other than seeing my friends, because
no question
I had it made.
Same here.
You know, the first time I saw a couple fight, I was astonished. You know, it's probably 14 or 15, because that just wasn't the family I was around. And
yeah, Crossville is a wonderful. Cumberland County is the apex of the Upper Cumberland height. The tourism, visitors, business. You had a great community to grow up in.
You know, and I'm old enough. We talk about this a lot. That, you know, I was that generation to where, you know, your only rule was try to be home by dinner. You know, and
oh yeah,
and
oh yeah.
There was no cell phones, or you know, they knew within 5 miles of where we were.
Your first place, it was supper, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
We did supper.
It was
and then you got back out on your bicycle and rode.
Until dark.
Right? Probably didn't have much of a curfew.
No. Yeah, no, I mean, dark, you know.
When you finally wore out, you just go.
Yeah, exactly. So we had the kids in the neighborhood, and I had a lot of different friends. And I was a sports kid. I was the football kid.
There you go.
I played football my whole life. And so that was a huge passion of mine, you know, and kind of always made good grades, enjoyed school. Not a big fan of some subjects, but I was a math and science guy.
I can tell that.
I was not a big fan of foreign language and things like that.
Fuzzy feely stuff.
Exactly. So, but you know, great family. I tell everybody, I think I got my values from all my parents and grandparents. Is the people that know me now is. Past 60 are like, you act just like this grandfather uncle and things. And I was like, well, you know, I really got my values from this.
So you grew up there, you played sports, you played football, and then you moved on in high school, and then somewhere along the way you met your wife, and somewhere along the way world. So take us through all that.
So went to Tennessee Tech. Amazingly, got a degree in geology, which I have a degree in geology. So if you want to know anything about the rocks, I'm your guy.
Oh, man.
But it was quite interesting that my dad, tell you a story, my dad, when I was 19, said, so what do you do when you get promoted as a geologist. He said, first off, what does a geologist do all day?
I understand.
You sit around in geology?
You do.
Sure, Dad, whatever. And, so he's like, well, but what do you do when you get promoted? And I looked at him, I was like, Dad, I'm kind of here to chase girls and drink beer. This is a really hard question.
Yeah, geologists over sideline.
Yeah, exactly. and so I was that kid. And he's like, no, you get promoted, you're going to have a budget. You're going to have people working for you.
Oh, sure.
You're gonna, and he said, my point being, I want you to take, because he didn't get to go to college.
Sure. Most.
He actually got a full ride at scholarship and couldn't have, at Vanderbilt. And couldn't afford the books or the clothes.
I understand. That was that I'm over a lot of you. There was a generational change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, it was, but his point was when you get promoted, you're going to need some accounting and business and finance.
Yeah.
And
so
I minored in business and finance.
What a great major. What a smart guy.
Well, so it turned out, I didn't know it was that smart. I worked the entire time I was in the, if you remember, the oil business was booming in Cumberland County and up through all of northern, this area of north of here in Tennessee. So, I worked in the oil business the whole time I was in college and made a fortune. I was making $12 an hour when everybody else was making $4.
Oh, yeah.
And had an expense account and all those things. Yeah. And then I've never been paid a day as a geologist once I graduated. I wound up in sales.
But that's how you learned a skill. You
wouldn't change a thing.
And just think, the upper Cumberland, we're sitting on rocks.
Yeah, exactly. So, thing was, I didn't want to sit in an office all day, and I got to be outside. And I'm like, geology sounds pretty good.
Right? Oh, right. So let's move. I'm supposed to do this halfway through. George Hoffer with Jeff Brown, Biz Founder. We're talking growing up in Cumberland County and Tennessee Tech, and now we're going to move forward to the next. Somewhere you met your wife.
Yeah, so my first wife, actually. So we went to high school together, married. I still had a year left at Tech when we got married. So.
Okay, sure.
She graduated early, so she went to work, and I finished my
year school.
From there, I went to work for a very large paint company. I'd worked in paint stores and stuff in high school.
I didn't know that.
My best friend's family owned a paint store, so I had 17 job offers as a geologist in December. And in June, when I graduated, I had 17 job offers rescinded because on June the 1st of 1984, the oil market crashed.
We had
$35 a barrel to 19 in 24 hours.
Yeah, recession, yes. big time period there.
The geologists were being laid off left
Energy,
and right.
Sure.
And I really didn't want to work on the Gulf Coast or offshore. To me, I was a country boy with trees and mountains.
We got to see those hills.
Being offshore for 6 weeks at a time.
No, that's flatland.
Yeah, I'm that guy that'll go nuts. You got to fly the helicopter out and get me off of here.
Right? I get that.
That was not for me. So worked for a big company for about 2 years, and that's when what I now do started. Is I hated working for a big company. It was just didn't work out for me. Didn't fit my attitude. And I was very customer driven, and I couldn't understand why they wouldn't let me make my customers happy. I understood we got to make money and all those things, but a lot of things they had me do wasted way more money than I could have done for $10 if you'd have let me.
You're a geologist with personality. Think about it. No, you talk and sell and BS and have a big time.
Exactly. I'd been around construction my whole life, all those kind of things. So I wound up leaving that. And this was way before cell phones. And so, I resigned my job from a phone booth somewhere in North Carolina, I think.
Yeah, okay. You're used to young kids don't know, you pull over with a bunch of quarters to a phone booth and make a collect call or a long distance call on your business card.
Exactly. And so important tip for anybody that might ever be in that situation, you might want to let your wife know before you retire. I was bad. And so I had a couple of guys that have been trying to hire me, and I called the first one. He's like, awesome. When's your last day? And I said, 2 weeks from Friday. And he said, cause I told him you can pick my car up at Knoxville Airport. And so he's like, okay, be here at 7:30 Monday morning. There's no talk about what he was going to pay me, nothing. And he owned a series of paint stores and wanted me to run them for him. And so
that's another one. My dad said, don't ever, it's easier to get a job when you got a job. So you've You just transform right on into
I had
your
two or three guys like him trying to hire me.
That's great.
Anyway, so, because of my background. And so that turned into – I did that for a few years. And, like, I tell people, you know, I don't know that we'll ever change in 35 years of what do we do to get kids not to leave here. And I'm convinced that you're not. I just don't think you are. If you grow up in Cookeville, you want to go to Nashville. If you grow up in Nashville, you want to go to New York. You know, if you grow up in Salina, you want to go to Cookeville. I mean, it's just the kind
it's just the nature of the beast.
Just kind of the nature of that young teen. Like,
are you seeing 20s. A change though with the economy and with the growth of our region and opportunities, or is it still that me and I did the same thing? Me and you just got to go to the big city. Go
yeah,
big
I mean,
town.
And then of course, what changed was a baby. Right,
so that
now
does.
I know, you know, restaurants, concerts, all that stuff doesn't
it
matter anymore.
Zip,
you know, you're changing diapers and hoping to get 3 hours sleep. I mean, so
call it real world.
At that time, then I decided to leave, move back to Crossville, and it, you know, at that time, it was kind of getting your own business. Was,
man, that is great. That's great.
What I wanted to do. So,
we got you growing up, going to school, going to tech, working, and we're gonna get into some good stuff here. How you? Yeah, we got about a minute left in this segment, and let's anything else right now, and then we'll come back and talk about your next baby, you and the career and what you were doing back then.
Like I say, I think that's something we need to focus on, and I've done some study and talked to some people in Michigan is understand these kids graduate from college and they're going to leave for 5 years. But
yeah.
How do you recruit them back once they start?
How do you plant
children?
The seeds?
Because now they went out and got great education working for a company. They learned a lot of things. And now is when they're most valuable to move back when they start having kids. And so that's what the kind of thing I think we need to work on, how we recruit you back.
And most of us learn the hard way, bigger is not always better.
And like I say, I think you first realize that when your first baby's born.
Yeah, those and mortgages.
Free
and,
babysitting of mom is quite a deal.
Hey, that's
right?
A big, big, big deal. When we come back, we're going to get right into it. George Hoffer with Jeff Brown, and we're off to a great start. Stay tuned. Well, we're back. We're not going to have enough time, Jeff,
no,
but we'll
no
do the best we can. George Hoffer, Jeff Brown, talking about growing up in the Upper Cumberland, growing up in Crossville, going to Tech, getting a start, changing diapers, got married, changing that, and the real world starts setting in. So let's pick up there and talk about your business and how you got started and you know, spend some time there.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously there was not a lot of work for a guy with a degree in geology and a minor in business moving back to Crossville at that time. So that was 1989, I guess.
Okay.
So I knew I wanted to get in business for myself. I'd grown up around construction and lots of things and did a lot of different jobs as a teenager. So got a real estate license, got started in that. But really what I did was start a construction company at that time.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
I had a great mentor, Gene Turner, who have you ever been to Turner Fields there in Crossville?
Oh, sure.
Named after him.
Oh, yeah.
And so he taught me pretty much everything I know as far as real estate and construction and helped me a lot. So that turned into then I bought that real estate company out. Then, you know, grew it, I don't know, 10 or 12 times over. And, you know, then that became, I was really upset with the banks at that time on doing mortgages that it took them 3 weeks to tell somebody no. And I was like, you know, there's these things called computers that, you know, we should be able to tell somebody.
I remember when they came in, that was a huge revolution.
I opened a mortgage company. It was the first electronic origination mortgage company in the region. And so I did. Everybody said, oh, you can't do that again, which entrepreneurs just love. Thrown the gauntlet.
You're on the cutting edge.
Well, yeah, I don't
of
know
that
about
part.
That.
No, but no, not really. Think about it.
It did really. That was one of my businesses that did really well, and I had to close it because I couldn't keep people. It turned out I was doing all the training.
Oh, you were training people for what's happening now.
All the bigger banks would hire them away. They worked about a year for me. So
you should have got a finder's fee.
Yeah, I told somebody. I think I made
started that, personnel
that business
agency.
Made like $6,000 the day I locked the door. You know, and it's like, man, this is miserable. But I had too many things going. So
hey, that's great. That
know,
is great.
There's some things you got to stop, right?
So. Yeah, I had a quick flashback. I told you I wasn't going to talk, and I am going to be quiet in a minute, maybe, but. I'm in Charlotte, and they had this thing called compute for the management staff. I was not the president of it. I moved away, and they have a thing called Computers for Dummies. I mean, no, for the managers, it was brand new, and it was little simple things looking back, but it was intimidating.
So my first computer when I went into the real estate business, I computerized it, and so the guy I later merged with, he and I both were trying to get into computerizing our businesses.
Wow.
I paid $8,000 for the old TRS-80, if you remember those. It was an IBM machine. Radio Shack was the only place in this part of the country. $8,000. It had 256K of RAM. And so I decided I was going to speed that bad boy up a year later. Another 256K of RAM.
Yeah, man, you were flying.
It was $1,500.
Oh, yeah.
For 256K
of
RAM.
Oh, man.
You know, it had the daisy wheel printer that sounded like a machine gun going off. Yeah. You had to put the sound enclosures around them. That was us.
So you're in there doing it, man. You're on the cutting edge of technology, computerization, built a business. Talk about how your business grew and what you did. And I think you got active in government.
Oh, gosh. Well, again, a lot of it goes.
County Commission, I think.
My mentor encouraged me to get more or less a master's degree in real estate. Don't take classes that the state wants you to take. Take classes that teach you how to make money. And so that really turned out to be some of the best advice I ever had.
Yeah.
And so then that turned into – and then, you know, I got really involved in the community – you know, always was helping the schools, doing this, and ran for county commission, was a commissioner there for 12 years.
That's when I first met you, when you were starting. We'll come back to that in a little bit.
But you know, again, I kind of that thing of I'm that guy that I just have that thing that I'd rather be in charge, good or bad. So I was president of every club I ever joined.
I understand, man. It's just, and you're a leader. You really are.
I don't know about that, but
a servant leader. That's the word behind it.
I think I can do a better job. Now, I now say everybody should be in elected office one time in their life, and you'll quit complaining about what the other guys do.
And a retail sales clerk that waits on the public.
Yes.
So get to know.
Best employees I ever had were Cracker Barrel waitresses.
Oh, sure. Oh, man, because they were customer-focused.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You said something earlier, how important mentors and how important you had people, Mr. Turner and the business, you know, just somebody that took you under their wing and taught and cared about you.
Yeah.
The real world.
And that's so much of what we do at the Biz Foundry.
And we're going to spend some time on that.
You need to be around people who care about you and who have been there, done it. You know, the thing that Tiffany hears me say till she's had it through the years, but you know, we think your football coach should have played football. We're kind of weird that way.
No, I
that's kind of the premise of what the Biz Foundry was built on. But I was that person who got the advantage of all the great mentors and even bankers and people like that who would sit down and go, "Well, I'm going to loan you the money, but let's talk about this." And you know, so I mean, a lot of people that mentored me, and I look back through the years of some of the people that, you know, I've always said people that I want to be when I grow up. They're
just
so much better people than me.
And we're fortunate, and we're going to spend some time after the break. We've got a community and a region full of people, and you're harnessing them to mentor and to care and to be that kind of person. There was an old saying, I forgot which psychiatrist said, only the wounded physician can heal.
That's right.
So if you're in business, I don't want to learn from somebody's nothing wrong with academia.
Nothing wrong with it.
Also has been in the trenches, man, that's done it. So.
It's different skill sets.
And that's what you're doing. So we'll preview a little bit. You started the Biz Foundry, our group, how many years ago now?
2012.
Wow.
One of my best friends and I sat in an Italian restaurant in Crossville, and we had been offered a chance to take the contract from Launch Tennessee. I'll never forget his quote was, he goes, "If you'll sell your business and run it, I'll try to keep money in the bank." And I'm like, okay.
That's pretty good.
We can do a nonprofit. Hey, yeah, we'd never do that. But entrepreneurs obviously see an opportunity, like, we'll figure it out. And
you know, when you're saying that in the old days, if you had a little a chamber of commerce, no matter what town, there wasn't a week that went by that somebody would walk me in saying, "I'm thinking about going into business. Can you counsel me or can you help me?" And most of us are just, that's not what Chambers have done. We're out marketing. So what a need. A lot of
Chambers see us as competitive, but no, we're not. We do something totally different.
I know here you're lockstep with the Chamber, with Tennessee Tech, with business, and
the development district initiatives.
So we've got about a minute left in this segment, then we're going to really get into the Biz Foundry when we come back and talk more detail. Anything else, looking back, all the things we've talked about, anything you want to add?
I've had a blast. I mean,
It shows.
Everybody has regrets, but, I think I want to be remembered as a fairly nice guy that helped a few people. That's what I want on my tombstone.
Serve. Youth is wasted sometime on the young. It certainly was with me.
Absolutely.
I've learned already more about – see, this is why this program, I love it. There's so much I didn't know about you and your history.
Pete Helton.
Yeah.
Pete Helton was one of my great mentors.
Oh, yeah. So we're and we're full of them in the Upper Cumberland. So we're going to take a break here and come right back. George Hofford with Jeff Brown, Biz Foundry, learning more about helping people get started in business and being successful. Welcome back, George Hofford with Jeff Brown. Now we're going to get into the nitty-gritty. I'm excited what you do and how you do it and who you do it with and the difference you're making with the Biz Foundry. You said founded in 2012. So let's start there. Let's just talk about what you do and how you're doing it and talk about successes, the past, and getting started. So I'll leave it to you.
So we started the nonprofit at the end of 2012. First thing we did was put together a good board. Moved to Cookeville. It was based out of Crossville, and we're like, no, Cookeville's dead center.
Yeah, you serve the upper the location.
We need to be closer to Tech, but we need to be in the center, right?
That's right.
And,
that's right.
Because we cover all 14 counties of the Upper Cumberland. So, a lot of the other entrepreneur centers mentored us a lot, really helped us. That a couple of them were 2-3 years ahead of us. None of us were very good at it, but, they were way better than us. So they helped us with programs, helped us get started, a lot of introductions. And so we moved it to Cookeville. The hospital at that time had that empty building that was the old dialysis center.
Yeah, I remember that now.
And he never did me any real favors as far as anything that was a conflict of interest, but my daughter was married to Paul Kaur's son. So I called him and said, Paul, what are you going to do with that building? He goes, nothing. That was at the start of Obamacare.
I remember that now.
He said, until we know if we're going to have enough money to keep the doors open a year from now, we're not spending money on anything. Right?
Important. Networking, relationships. The average person has more things going for them than they even realize.
Every penny I ever made in my life was through relationships.
No question.
Not necessarily my education.
About every job I got was through relationships.
Yeah, I've sold hundreds of millions of dollars worth of things, and nobody's ever asked me where I got my degree or what was my GPA.
No.
What does it do for me?
That's right.
What does it cost, right?
So that's great. So you got started that. Y'all started there.
The hospital board gave us that building for 5 years for $1 a year. Now, we had to remodel it.
Because it
had squirrels and leaves, dead squirrels and leaves. I mean, it had been abandoned for 2 or 3 years, and so that was a big boost to us because a lot of the other entrepreneur centers were spending, $6,000 a month on rent.
And visibility and having the hospital landlord. Yeah, it was a great start.
They were really great. I mean, I think they even mowed the grass for us because they had such a big contract. They didn't know the difference.
Postage stamp lot can be done.
But we took that, started putting together programs. Our board and our bylaws say we're entrepreneurial focused.
Yes.
Entrepreneurs have to be led by entrepreneurs. It can't be academic and it can't be government.
No, it can
because it's two different
things. And academia has a role. I'm not saying it, but this is driven by people who've been there, done that.
Because it's got to be, the biggest thing in entrepreneurs is just, we tell them that they need to be half problem solver and half bulldog, right? And, best entrepreneurs are just good problem solvers, to be honest with you. They got to have a passion.
They got an idea.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you got
there's an idea. There's a passion.
More than the idea.
Of course.
Your idea will change so much from what you first thought to where it actually is successful.
But the passion is, you got to have drive and passion.
Because what you really want, the successful ones, they have a problem to solve. how they start out solving it and how they want to solve. They want to solve a problem for humanity or healthcare or whatever.
That's right.
And you know, their original idea of how to solve the problem and what actually works is usually, you know, somewhere between 10 and 100 iterations away.
It's a different duck.
Different duck. Yeah, it's still a duck.
But it's a duck, but it's
got
a different
lot
duck.
Different feathers on it, and sometimes the bill points backwards.
If it quacks, it might, waddles, it might be still a duck.
It might be a duck. So, you know, we figured out, you know, not only the kind of the educational piece, I don't know that I like that word to tell a 40-year-old they need to be educated, but, you know, how do we show you the things that matter in business? Yeah. Give our hundreds of years of experience from our board and mentors. I always tell people, we probably don't know what to tell you to do, but we can give you a Bible's worth of information on what not to do.
Which,
you know, at least you won't be making $50,000 and $100,000 mistakes like all us stupid people did. So
in a nutshell, you got people all over this region that have ideas or have a dream of going into business, starting right. something, and you're the great place to start.
Yeah, so we start.
Walk us through. I just came in. I got an idea. Just walk us through how
so
you do.
We kind of preface it just a little. You know, we look at businesses of two or three different kinds. There's kind of the lifestyle businesses, mm-hmm. and that's not a bad word, but that means it's going to be you and your family and. You know, you're probably not going to have 50 employees and 8 or 10 locations. So, you know, the typical small town business. So, you know, usually our first contact is have you go to our website, make an appointment. We just call it, it's just an exploration appointment. You know, mm-hmm. How do we find out what you want to do, what you're thinking, what your background is? And then that gives us a little bit, and then we'll take a little time and try to decide, all right, what do we need to put together for you? Who do you need to
so
talk
it's
to?
Custom. It's not
oh,
a,
it's customized.
It's not
now,
a.
We have a couple of bellwether programs. One's called Start Up Your Startup, which is a mini boot camp that does all the legal accounting.
That you got to have it no matter what.
Right. Because, again, you don't learn this anywhere else, right? And so in finance, in business finance, so, you know, we deal with PhDs in engineering, inventing things that I can't even pronounce to, you know, I'm starting a cupcake shop. But what we found out is the financial knowledge of the high school dropout and a PhD in engineering are the same.
Mm-hmm.
A PhD
yes.
in engineering is not any accounting, finance, none of that stuff.
Exactly.
Right. And so we do a lot of work there. Of course, you know, one of the number one things people need is capital. So we've worked for years now on, you know, things like getting the microloan fund started in partnership with the development district.
There's so many things available that the average person would – unless they would know.
It's, you know, and I'll brag on our development district. I mean, I travel all over the state. Yep. I deal with them, and we have by far the best.
No question.
District. I mean, Mark Farley is a true servant leader, and we've become very good friends. And it's just the things they do to help businesses with their revolving loan funds and the microloans and then, you know, all the things we've done. And we also know what banks like to do what.
You know, so some are more entrepreneurial than others. I mean, some are more.
Well, and even if they're entrepreneurial, some like physicians' offices. Some
specialties.
Like, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Not every bank likes to loan in the same kind of area.
I got
so,
you.
We spend a lot. We have what's called a capital navigator, which spends a lot of time doing that. So, you know, a lot of what we do is help you get ready or help you get a loan or at least in contact to get that started.
You said earlier about failures. Sometimes one of the best things you do is say, you know, no offense, buddy, but this may not be the right thing. Or, you know, you tell people what they got to do.
Well,
it's not negative, but it's.
My friend's kidding me about I'm the guy that tells you your baby's ugly. I don't know that that's how I want to be remembered.
It's a dream that they have. Right?
But we try to bring in your, you know, most people, including us, our first time thought, oh, I have this idea. I'm going to be rich, right?
Yeah.
And it's just not that easy. And so we try to. We don't know what a good idea is, but we know how to help you figure out what a good idea
is. It's not you doing it. It's the entrepreneur doing
it. Our crystal ball sucks.
Yeah, and you
right?
give them the tools
but we help
to make good decisions.
Right, how to do – we call it evidence-based entrepreneurship. Don't just go out and start it because you love it. Go out and start it because there are people that will pay you for it.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So you
– pretty simple, actually, but most people don't look at it.
How can people – let's do a little commercial of – you know, somebody out there in our audience is saying, you know, I really need to go talk to those people or I need to contact those people. So,
you can always walk in, but we don't exactly have a receptionist. We have a co-work space.
You're working
in
there.
We have all kinds of things. And so, but, you know, the best place is thebizfoundry.org. Go to the website, sign up for an initial appointment, and that's when we just sit down and talk with you about, you know, what are you thinking, what do you think you need, you know, what all do you want to do, how big do you want to get, we try to get enough. It's kind of like a physical, right? You know, we try to get all the information that
very
you fill out at the doctor's office, right?
Very hands-on.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what it is. Location, you are.
We are on Cedar, North Cedar, 114 North Cedar. So we are.
Right by the chamber. First Street, close to the chamber.
Yeah, so it's across the street from the pool hall. That's the number one thing.
Yeah, and our beer.
Kind of we're one street over from Red Silos.
Yeah, a lot of people would know that.
Yeah,
I know
exactly.
That.
So, again, that was a big thing moving there. Our traffic increased.
You're right in the entertainment district. You're right with traffic.
You can walk to all of the cool places to eat. And so, those kind of things. So, that's all been a big deal for us, but we've really, through the years, and then, last year we started a local angel investment fund.
Ooh.
So nice. We took local invest. We thought there were people.
Tell
out
people
there.
What an angel investment
so
firm is. Please.
It is usually, not super wealthy, but the word high wealth individuals that want to invest in new companies, but don't have a way to do it. And they don't want to invest in companies in California. So they're called angel investors because they're kind of mainstream.
They want to grow. They want to help their community.
I heard a great quote I'm going to steal the other day, that good angel investors want to help local entrepreneurs. They want to make a little money, and they want to have fun.
Fun's a big thing, too. I know you have fun.
They get a lot of satisfaction out of it.
Yes. Giving back.
It's funny. You would know most of the names on our executive committee, and they're like, when they start looking at deals, they're like kids in a candy shop.
Oh,
they have way too much fun.
Yeah.
But, in a very serious way, but they enjoy it. They love it. And so it's people who want to give back to the community, but it's not a charity, right?
No.
But they're also not vulture investors, right? Yeah. They're not looking to, take your business over. They want to invest early and make good money when you sell it 5 to 7 years down the road. That's what
no question. So, you share, we got about a minute left now, but meaning and you found purpose and talk about how that has changed your life and changed. I mean, you obviously are, man, you hadn't changed a lick much in 12, a little bit. We've gotten older, but talk about what this has meant for you.
Well, I think, again, we started this, Ray and I started this, because we were so frustrated with how government and academia treated entrepreneurs. And
kind of rote, just like,
and it's like, I asked one time, I'd been in business 15 years and had 20 employees, and instead of a pilot program, I asked for a new sewer tap that I didn't have to pay for so I could build a new office, and they told me no.
I understand.
And so that kind of thing kind of stuck in my craw. So that just became kind of a mission of mine. Yeah. So I just enjoy it. It's my favorite thing, is to really, how can I help people with their business, period.
God bless you, my friend. It shows you're making a difference, and I'm just glad I know you're my friend. I got to know you, and keep up the good work. George Hofford, Jeff Brown, see you soon.